Come on, let's put our hands together and give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, come on, let's try that again. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. Hope well. It is so good to be back with you, especially on a day like this, a day that we set aside to thank God and give God honor and uplift God for the man of God who is celebrating 13 years of faithful pastoring. Hope well, can you stand on your feet? Come on, let's just go crazy. Thank and let's thank God for the one and only pastor, Christopher Swims. Come on, let's make some noise. Glory to God. Man of God, we honor you today. We celebrate you today. And Hopewell, this is just so amazing. So amazing. The way that you have set this up. And you could see the look on his face when he realized what was going on. And the reaction that he gave, it was worth it all. Wasn't it, Hopewell? Wasn't it worth it to see that? And man of God, you are so loved. Not only are you loved here in Carbondale and here at Hopewell, but the body of Christ, we're grateful for your contribution to the ministry, your contribution to the people of God. And so we celebrate you today. And I'm just so honored and so delighted to be a part of it. When Pastor initially reached out to me and said that he was going to shift some things this year, I was a little shocked. I said, Pastor, you sure? You okay? He said, no, I just want to do what's best for the church. And isn't that amazing in a day and age like this to have a man of God that's putting the church first? And I said, well, man of God, you know I'm going to support you in any way we can. And then it wasn't, I believe, just a couple of weeks later, we got another call from Hopewell, and they said, we ain't going out like that. We just ain't going to do it. And they said, if you can make a way to come, you know, we still want to find a way to have a blessed disobedience. And we're going to surprise our pastor. And I just love pastors. I love your pastor. And so we just start adjusting things and rearranging things to make it happen. And I'm just so happy to be here to be able to celebrate him. And we're just so grateful. And once again, Hopewell, I just can't say it enough. I want to thank Sister Jakari and thank God for Minister Kurt and Sister Ross and all of those who hooked this up, the ministry leaders and everybody who had to keep it secret, everybody. We just honor you all and just thank you all for this great day of celebration. And then we can't celebrate the man of God without celebrating First Lady. Can we thank God for First Lady Brittany? Come on, we thank God for her. Praise God. I think for a little while she had to keep it a secret, and because we had to make sure he came to church today. Amen. And thank God for her. We thank God for the girls. Come on, can we celebrate the girls? And we just thank God for the first family, a beautiful family. And we honor them today. We celebrate them today. And as Minister Kirk said, I know a little bit later on, everybody will have an opportunity to be a blessing to your pastor with sowing into his life. And of course, we want to encourage everybody to do so. It's a blessing. Don't ever let nobody make you feel bad for wanting to support and be a blessing to your pastor. Don't ever make nobody make you feel bad. That's the right thing to do. Look at somebody, say, that's the right thing to do. That's the Bible says, they who serve well are worthy of double honor. And so we do that on today. And so at that time of giving, I want to encourage everybody to, if you can sow and give your best gift to honor this man of God. On behalf of myself and our ministry, we want to give today $1,000 to you, Pastor Swims, and just being a blessing to you and sow into his life. I believe your pastor is good ground. Look at somebody say, he's good ground. He's good ground. And you can't be God-given. How many of you know you can't be God-given? And so we want to just bless you. We celebrate you today. We honor you. And just bless you for 13 years of ministry. Then I thank God I got some people with me today. Thank God I have my wife with me today, First Lady Lucretia. Thank God for our Executive Assistant Secretary, Leah Smith. She came with us today. She was so helpful in helping us get this together. And I so got to have my maestro with us, Arion Tucker. Thank God for him. And on behalf of myself and the entire Faith Movers family, we celebrate you too, Pastor Swims. He's always come to Faith Movers quite often to preach for us, and we just love it every time he shares with us. And so we're just happy to be here. And Hopewell, y'all look good today. Look, somebody say, I look good, I look good. Come on, look behind you and say, don't hate, don't hate now, don't hate, don't hate, don't hate. Amen. Everybody looks so good. Listen, my assignment today is just to share a word, and I really prayed about this assignment. And I just want to speak a word, not only to you, Pastor, just a personal word of encouragement, but I want to speak this word to everybody who is in-house, those who are watching online. And I really want to speak and minister to individuals who perhaps have been believing God for some things. Is there anybody in the house that perhaps you've been believing God for something? Come on. There's something in your life that's important to you. There's something in your life that is dear to your heart and you've been believing God for, and perhaps it has not showed up yet. Perhaps it has not happened yet. And how many of you know sometimes God know how to make you wait? And sometimes what you need can be urgent. And sometimes if you're not careful, that is a sensitive space that the enemy will begin to play with you and to try to make you think that God has forgotten about you. But God sent me to you today to encourage you. You are not forgotten. Come on, help me preach this morning. Look at somebody and say, you are not forgotten. Come on, that's the wrong neighbor. Encourage somebody else. Say, you are not forgotten. And so I want you to receive this word because I believe this word is for you. And I always tell my people this, and I encourage you to understand this. It is the foundational principle of faith. You will always receive at the level you believe. Don't ever forget that. That's a foundational principle of faith. You will always receive at the level you believe. There was a time in my life I was upset with God because I felt like I wasn't receiving at the level I should be receiving. And God had to speak to me and say, son, understand, I'm a God of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please me. And God showed me that my receiving wasn't right because my believing wasn't right. But I believe I've got some witnesses that can testify. When you get your believing right, come on, bump somebody, say, I'm gonna get my receiving right. So I say that to say today I need you to believe this word that God has for you, and I speak manifestation in your life. So listen, I'm going to ask you to stand one more time, and if you stand again, it's because you want to, not because I asked you to. But come on, let's stand for the reading of the word of God. And I want to go today to a passage of scripture that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And today I want to read one verse in your hearing, and that's verse 36 of 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation. That is the translation we're going to be using today, the New Living Translation, the NLT, of 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 36. When you have it, holler back at your boy, I got it. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 36, the NLT, the New Living Translation, read it thusly. And Hezekiah and all the people rejoice because of what God had done for the people. Watch this. For everything had been accomplished so quickly. All right, let me do it this way. And Pastor Swims and all of Hopewell rejoice because of what God had done for them. Watch this. For everything, somebody shout, for everything, had been accomplished. Now, this is your word. So quickly. Before you take your seat, do me a favor, just touch about three people and repeat to them our topic for the day. Just touch three people and tell them it's happening sooner than you think. Come on, tell somebody that it's happening sooner than you think. I want to talk about that today. It's happening sooner than you think. You may be seated. This morning in the presence of the Lord. We're going to talk about that today. It's happening sooner than you think. My brothers and sisters, at the time of our text, the people of God and the house of God is in a bad place. Literally, in the previous chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 28, the doors of the house of the Lord had closed. Y'all, the doors closed not because of a pandemic, but rather because of a wicked king by the name of Ahaz. This king was so wicked and had such a disdain and a disrespect for God that he literally shut the doors of God's house and allowed the building to go to waste. And notice, y'all, that because the king did not have a respect for God's house, the people did not have a respect either. Because the leader was bad, the rest of the church became bad. And this is why, Hopewell, I celebrate you for honoring your pastor for good pastoral leadership. You see, oftentimes people will follow the example of their leader. If they see a leader with fire, with passion, and a sense of care, they will have fire, passion, and a sense of care. However, if they see a leader who does not care, the people under that leader will not care either. This is why pastoral leadership matters. Look at somebody and say, it matters. And this is why I tell churches all the time, don't see your pastor's desire for excellence as a bad thing, but see it as an act of care. Because if he didn't care, he wouldn't care what goes on in the house of the Lord. But because there is a desire for excellence, it shows that he cares for God's house. Y'all, it's interesting. The Bible says that this crazy and wicked king Ahaz, he did not care about God's house. It was so bad that God's people and God's house literally went to waste. It was a bad season for God's people until Ahaz died and his son rose to power. You see, sometimes God has to kill in order to manifest his will. And sometimes God has to remove what's in your life in order to make room for what he has for your life. If my Bible readers understand, you know Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said it was in the year that King Uzziah died. He was said, that's when I saw the Lord. I would remind you that we are here today as Christians because over 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus that had to die so that we could live. Hebrews 10 verse 9 says he takes away the first so that he may establish the second. And I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but somebody needs to stop crying over what and who had to leave your life and learn how to start shouting for what God is getting ready to bring into your life. Look at somebody and say, God's got good things for you. And every now and then you got to stop having a pity party about what died in your life and start having faith to say, God, if you took it away, that means you got something better for me. God, if you allowed it to die, that means you're about to birth something fresh. You're about to birth something new. You're about to birth something that I've never seen before. The Bible said that Ahaz had to die so that his son could come into power. And the Bible said his son rose up to power. And he was a young king by the name of Hezekiah. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 29 verse 1 that it was this young king Hezekiah who was 25 years old when he started as king of Judah. And the Bible says, I love this, he did what was right in the sight of God. In other words, I like Hezekiah because he outlived his example. His father was a bad example. He did what was wrong. But Hezekiah said, I'm not gonna allow my father's example to make me follow in his footstep. I'm gonna go another route and do what is right. Can I encourage somebody this morning who may had a bad example? You may have parents that were a bad example. You may have knucklehead friends that were a bad example. But can I encourage you that at the end of the day, Jesus is our ultimate example. And don't God has a way of putting people in your life that can help you outlive the example? Come on, do I have anybody in here that can testify that you had to outlive your example? There were people around you that weren't doing right, but you made up in your mind, I'm gonna do right. Somebody ought to thank God that we serve a God that'll help you outlive your example. The Bible says that Ahaz did what was wrong, but Hezekiah, his son, he did what was right. In church, it is Hezekiah's leadership that I want to focus on for the few minutes that I have left. Because it was due to Hezekiah's leadership, don't miss this, that God shifted the people from a bad season into a blessed season. Because you do know that when God puts good leadership in your life, it shifts your season. Come on, do I got anybody at Hopewell that can testify that you would have been stuck in a bad season if God didn't put good leadership in your life in order to help shift your season? Sometimes you come to church busted and disgusted, but God will give your pastor a word that will help shift your. Come on, don't play with me. Some of you ought to give God a 5-second shout for the way God has the ability to shift your season. The Bible says that when Hezekiah became king, God shifted the people, don't miss it, from a bad season into a blessed season. And y'all, what I like about it, here's the shout, he did it sooner than they thought. Touch somebody, say, God's going to do sooner than you think. God's going to do it. Because once again, watch what the Bible says. 2 Chronicles 29, 36. It said, and Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because of what God had done for the people. Here it goes. For everything had been accomplished so quickly. And y'all, I want us to look at this text today in order to see what did Hezekiah and the people do to cause God to move so quickly. And y'all, this is important because I hear God saying, Pastor Swims, I hear God saying, Hopewell, and to everyone listening, I pray you can receive this. I hear God saying that there are some shifts that he's getting ready to make. I hear God saying, hear me good, that there's some things that, Pastor, some of you, we've been believing God for. There's some things that we've been hoping for. There's some private and secret things that we've been praying for that is dear to our heart. For some of you, it could be about your future, what God has for you next. For somebody else, it could be about an opportunity. God, open up this door. God, make a way for me. For somebody else, it could be in the area of relationships. God, what do I do about this relationship? For somebody else, it could be a financial decision, but there's something that you've been believing God for. There's something that you've been hoping God to do, and it has not happened yet. And the enemy has been playing with you, making you think that God has forgotten about you and that God is going to leave you out there, and all of your service, all of your hard work has been in vain. Oh, but God sent me to whole world today to let you know that your season is about to shift. I wish I had about 10 people that believe God. Come on, look at somebody, say, it's about to shift, baby. Come on, I don't care how bad it's been. I don't care how ugly it's been. God sent me to tell you it's about to shift. And that ain't even a real shout. Here's the real shout. It's about to shift, and it's going to happen sooner than you think. Come on, look at somebody, say, sooner than you think, sooner than you. That thing is about to show up sooner than you think. That thing is about to manifest sooner than you think. Somebody shout, sooner. Sooner than you think. And so come on, keep your Bible open, y'all. Let's go and let's investigate this text to see what is it now that Hezekiah and God people did that caused God to move so quickly. And y'all, when you look at the text, the first thing you will see that Hezekiah and the people did that caused God to move so quickly is, number one, they had, number one, the right priorities. Let the church say the right priorities. Come on, keep your Bible open, because notice how this story starts off. It begins by telling us what Hezekiah's priorities was when he entered into office as king of Judah. Watch it. It's in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3. It says it here. In the very first month of the first year of his reign, Hezekiah reopened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. Y'all slow, but you're worth waiting for. Come on. The Bible says that when Hezekiah first got into office, the first thing he wanted to do was to restore and to rebuild the house of God. The Bible says here that in the first year, in the first month, his first official act of business was that he wanted to take care of the house. I'm going to back that thing up and do it again. In the first year, in the first month he took office, his first official act as king was he wanted to take care of the house of the Lord. And notice, y'all, that when he first came into office, he did not want to get himself a new crown. When he first got into office, he did not buy himself a silky robe. When he first got into office, he did not get himself some rabbit slippers. When he got into office, he did not fix up his own palace first. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, the first thing I want to prioritize, the first thing I want to do is I want to fix and take care of God's house first. Because understand, y'all, purpose should always precede prosperity. And sometimes you have to be so sold out for your purpose that you're willing to sacrifice your prosperity. And here's the kingdom principle, that when you first take care of God's house, what God will do, God will say, because you prioritize my house first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around now and take care of your house. You see, I've learned that when you put God first, he will bless whatever your hand touches next. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. It's a beautiful thing when you make up in your mind that I'm going to prioritize God first in my life. I'm going to make him the first thing that I do when I wake up every morning. I'm going to rearrange my life where everything will going to have to happen after my relationship with God, because he has to be a priority. Y'all hope, well, this is why we had to sneak around and give your pastor a celebration. You know why? Because he wanted to prioritize the house of the God first. He wanted to make sure that God's house was taken care of. And Pastor Swims, I got a word for you, that because you took care of God's house first, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the things that God is getting ready to do in your life. Because I believe I got 20 people that can testify. When you put God first, won't God open up doors for you? Won't God begin to make a way for you? When you make God number one, won't God bless you in ways you can't see it? And he will do it fast. Oh, somebody shout, he'll do it fast. And perhaps for some of us, God is saying to us, I can't move as quickly as I want to move because you have not prioritized me first. Sometimes God cannot bless us because he's afraid he will lose us. So God says, if I bless them, I may lose them. That's why I have to hold up the blessing sometimes to make sure their priorities is right. Because why would I want to give them a boo and a bay and they take that boo and a bay and stop coming to church, stop reading their Bible? Why should I give them a car? And the very car I bless them with, now on Sundays they go to brunch and they ain't got time for service. Look at somebody and say, don't let God lose you by blessing you. But I believe I got some people at Hopewell that can testify, God, you can trust me. God, I'm not going to turn the blessing against you. The more you bless me, the more I'm going to bless you. And please hear me good. Look at me. If we want to see God's hands move quickly and powerfully in our lives, then we need to make a decision to prioritize God as it relates to his word, his will, and his ways. And Pastor Swims and Hopewell, I hear the Lord saying, keep putting him first. Because the Lord told me to tell you, he's seen your faithfulness. And please hear me good. When the leader and the laity priorities are right, God starts moving quickly. I'm going to say that again. I say, when the leader and the laity, when the pastor and the people, when their priorities are right, God starts moving quickly. And I don't know who can receive this, but here's a shout for somebody. God wanted me to tell you that because you didn't put him last, he's going to start to move fast. Come on, tell somebody, because you didn't put him last, come on, he's going to start to move fast. And when people start to ask you, how did you get that? You ain't got the credit to get that. You don't have the education to get that. You don't have the networking to get that. You look back at them and say, I didn't put God last, and he just started moving fast. I believe I've got some people that can testify, if you don't put God last, he will begin to move. Come on, tell somebody, he's going to start moving fast. He's going to start moving fast. And I'm talking to somebody today. Hear me good. Keep doing right by God. Who am I preaching to? Keep doing right by God. I know you get tired sometimes coming, getting to church early and serving. But keep doing right by God. I know it's hard sometimes to roll out the bed and open up your Bible and before you go to bed at night, get on your knees and pray. I know it's difficult, but hear me good. Keep doing right by God. I know you want to tell them off on your job when they keep messing with you, trying to set traps for you, rolling their eyes at you. You ain't clapped back yet. Don't clap back. Keep doing right by God. I know when everybody else in the family doing wrong, you got to be the only one that hold up the standard. Don't get tired of holding up the standard. Keep doing right by God, because God told me to tell you, because you didn't put him last, he's going to move fast. Somebody lift your hands and say, God's about to move fast. And I got to move on. But hear me good. But Hopewell, before I move on, can I just quickly give y'all as a church a couple of things that I want to encourage you to keep prioritizing for the rest of the year? All right, a couple of things. Number one, for the rest of this year, as a ministry, keep prioritizing, number one, the word. Come on, I got 2 amens right there. And I understand, because see, we live in a generation now, they don't take the Bible seriously. But I believe I got some old school folk in here who still believe the Bible is right. Come on. Is there anybody here that still knows there's power in the Word of God? And when you read the Word of God, and when you live by the Word of God, and when you have a hunger for the Word of God, God will fill you up. God will satisfy you. God will supernaturally bless your life. Why? Because there is power in the Word of God. Don't get so busy serving ministry leaders that you stop getting wet, that you stop listening to the Word of God. Don't get so busy doing God's work that you don't have time to sit and let God minister to you through your word. Because when a ministry prioritizes the word, God moves fast. Number one, I want you to prioritize the word. Number two, I want you all to prioritize being welcoming. Because I'm here to tell you, God's about to send some fresh faces through here. And when God sends some fresh faces through here, they need to see welcoming faces. Oh, I want you to be a welcoming church. I want you to have an inviting atmosphere. Keep on doing what you're doing. I love all your social media things you're doing, showing smiley faces. You're welcome here. Keep on doing that, because we got a crazy world out there, and they need to know that in the house of God, they are welcome here. No matter what they done, no matter if they smell like drugs, sex, and rock and roll, they still have a space and a place. And God, don't look at me like that, because you ain't always been in church on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. You ought to remember where God brought you from, and this ought to always be a place of grace. Look at somebody and say, we got to be welcoming. I want y'all to prioritize the word, prioritize being welcoming, but thirdly, prioritize witnessing. Keep on inviting people to the God's house. Keep on telling people about Jesus. I want you to go all over Carmadale and all that you can. Keep on inviting people. Get you some flyers, some you invited cards, and start spreading those cards all throughout Carbondale. If you're in the grocery store and you're in line and somebody in front of you only got one item, tell the cashier, you know what? Put that one item on my ticket. I'll pay for it. And when they ask you, why are you paying for it? Say, I'm not paying for it. Jesus paid it all. And give them a card and invite them to Hopewell. And don't you know you have a bunch of folk coming up in here talking about somebody paid for my groceries. I had to see what's going on. Come on, we got to witness. We got to let the world know that the church is still alive. Look at somebody, say the church is still alive. I want you to prioritize the word, prioritize being welcoming, prioritize witnessing, and finally, for the rest of this year, prioritize worship. Matter of fact, every time you come up in here, nobody ought to have to make you lift your hands or say amen. Matter of fact, I cast out the spirit of bougie. I cast out the spirit of being cool. Now, God's been too good to me. And when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he done for me, I don't need no music ministry to make me clap my hands. I don't need nobody to make me sit up on my feet. All I gotta do is have a flashback and think about how good God's been. Has God been good to anybody? Well, for the next 5 seconds, let's have a little worship. Let's open up our mouth. Let's give God praise for all the things he's done for. Oh, come on, open your mouth. Give God glory. Give God a praise. And Hopewell, hear me good. I believe with everything in me, if you all prioritize the word, you prioritize being welcoming, you prioritize witnessing, you prioritize worshiping, things around here about to move fast. Look at somebody, say, it's gonna move fast, it's gonna move fast, it's gonna move. Number one, text to the Hezekiah and the people. Caused God to move so quickly. Number one, because they had the what? The right priorities. But number two, watch this. Hezekiah and the people caused God to move so quickly. Number two, because they had the right partners. Let the church say the right partners.
Because y'all keep your Bible open now, because y'all look what happened next. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 29, verses 4 through verse 11, that Hezekiah called a meeting with the Levites and the priests. Those are the two groups that serve in the church. And he told them that if they wanted to be in God's will, that they needed to rebuild, repair, and restore God's house. And look at what the Bible says happened after the meeting with the Levites and the priests in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 15. You got to see this, man. See this with your own eyes. It says in verse 15, these men called together their fellow Levites, and they all purified themselves. Then they began to cleanse the temple of the Lord, just as the king had commanded. They were careful to follow all the Lord's instructions in their work. Verse 16, the priests went into the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord to cleanse it. And they took out of the temple courtyard all the defiled things that they found. Don't miss this. The Bible said that when the people came together, the Levites and the priests, the deacons and the trustees, the ministry leaders and the people, when they all started coming together on one accord, the Bible says things started to happen. You see, hear me good. Great things can be accomplished when people come together on one accord. Genesis 11 says that the people were about to build a tower that reached heaven when they had one mind and they came together. The book of Nehemiah tells us the story of how they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. Why? Because the people came together. Acts chapter 2 says that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came in fast like a rushing mighty wind. Why? Because the people were on one accord and they came together. See, this is why the enemy wants church folk not to come together. This is why he likes to always be stirring up some mess, to stir up some division. Why? Because he knows when we come together, there's nothing he can do to stop God's kingdom. Oh, bump somebody, say, we got to come together. Come on, think about it. Even as Africans Americans, when black people came together, we changed laws, restructured systems, built Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, built colleges and universities. We produced Dr. Martin Luther King, Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James, Barack Obama. We built so many great things when we have come together. Homes get better when spouses come together. Children are raised better when parents come together. Crime goes down when the community comes together. Sin decreases when the church come together. Blessings come down when our praise come together. Look at somebody and say, I just need to find one person that I can come together with. I never forget the first time in Macon, Georgia, where I'm from. The first time I experienced my mama making a cake. And y'all, I was a young boy, no more than 5 or 6 years old, but I never forget in that kitchen on Metro Way. I saw she had that big old bowl. And she put flour in that bowl. She put egg in that bowl. She put milk in that bowl. Vanilla in that bowl. And I was a little boy looking at all that she had in the bowl. And when she had it all in the bowl at one time, I was saying to myself, there's no way this cake gonna be good. It looked messy, it looked nasty, but all of a sudden something happened. Mama got a spoon. Whew. And y'all, when she starts stirring, what looked nasty and bad start coming together. And y'all, when all of that start coming together, she put it in the oven, because sometimes it's got to get hot before it get better. But after she got that thing out the oven, everything that looked nasty, when it came together, it was able to go in my mouth and be a blessing to me. All I'm trying to tell you is that people around you may not be perfect, but if y'all can just come together, oh man, you're able to to rise up and be a blessing to other people. Why? Because you came together. Come on, high five somebody. Say, we're going to stay together. I know the devil want me to hate on you, but you ain't my enemy. The devil is my enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm going to love you. I'm going to have grace for you. Why? Because when we come together, no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. Look at somebody and say, there's power in coming together. Oh, the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Jesus says where two or three are gathered together, that he would be there in the midst. And you can ask what you will, and he will make it happen. Come on, high five somebody and say, I got your back. Because if we come together, the devil can't stop us. When we come together, haters can't stop us. When we come together, things get better. I'm talking to a married couple. It's time for y'all to come together. I'm talking to family members who ain't talked in 20 years. It's time for the family to come together. And I believe I've got some witnesses here that can testify. If you come together, won't God work it out? Won't God make a way? Do you believe it? Shout yes! Shout yes! Shout
with the right partners. See, some of y'all can't shout because the devil don't trick you to make you think you gotta do it all by yourself. But look at somebody and say, in this next season, it's gonna be so big you just can't do it by yourself. Now God's gonna have to hook you up with the right people that can help you elevate. And I speak over your life that God's about to send some people in your life who can encourage you. God's about to send some people in your life who can fill in the gaps where you're messing up. God's about to send some people in your life who's able to help you lift off the ground and get the assignment done that God has put over your life. Pastor Swims, I speak it over this church. God's about to send the right partners, people of excellence, people that's good in technology, people that's good with systems, people that's good with quality control. God's about to send partners to help this thing start to move fast. Oh, high five somebody, say my partners are coming. Come on, you've been carrying it all by yourself. But God said he's seen that your shoulders are tired. So he's going to let you hook up with the right people that's going to help you carry it and get it done. If you believe it, open your mouth. And for the next 5 seconds, give God a praise. Come on, somebody shout, partners are coming. Come on, y'all don't mean it. Come on, shout, partners are coming. And anything that you're lacking in your life, God wanted me to tell you, he's been to send the right people. He's going to send the right people to help you. Some good Levites, some good priests to help you get it done. Bible said, start moving quickly. Because number one, they had the right priorities. Number two, they had the right partners. Levites and priests came together and said, Hezekiah, if God told you to rebuild this temple, let's get it done. And the Levite said to the priest, we ain't going to hate on you because you priests. And the priest said to the Levites, we ain't going to hate on you because you Levites. Because titles don't matter when you're trying to get to the next level.
Say, I don't care about your title. You don't care about my title. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's get it done. Let's get it done. We got building to do. We got partnership to make. And we ain't got all day to do it. This got to happen fast. Are y'all still with me? Would you bump somebody and say, get a boy 5 more minutes. Get a boy 5. Because Tech says, I'm out of here. That things start moving so quickly. Because number one, they had the what? The right priorities. Number two, they had the right what? Partners. But third and finally, things start moving so quickly, not only because of the right priorities and the right partners, but third and finally, they had the right productivity. Y'all, I'm still in the Bible, because watch, keep your Bible open. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 17. Would you look at here? It said, they begin the work in early spring, and on the first day of the new year, and in 8 days, they had reached the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then they purified the temple of the Lord itself, which took another 8 days. So the entire task was completed in 16 days. The Bible says, y'all, that when the people came together with the right priorities, and when everybody came together and with partnership, that they restored, they repaired, and they rebuilt the house of the Lord in 16. Oh, I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it because I believe I got about 5 folk who crazy to believe it. I prophesy over somebody's life that something big is about to happen in the next 16 days. I wish I had somebody that believed God. Come on, if you got crazy faith to believe that in the next 16 days, God can send a miracle in your life, I need you to open your mouth and just begin to praise God like you believe he's about to move in the next 16 days. Come on, y'all ain't saying that, but I said open your mouth. Give God glory that God's going to do something big. God's going to open up a door. God's gonna shift a relationship. God's gonna save my loved ones. And he's gonna do it in the next 16 days. I need you to open your mouth and give God glory. I'm out of here. I'm out of here now. I feel God now. Now, here's the thing. I'm gone. I can imagine that when they first started rebuilding, I'm sure they thought it was going to take a long time. I mean, think about it. With all of our technology, if you find a building that's been wasted, totally broke down, even in today's time, to fix it up in 16 days, that's impressive. But can you imagine them not having the technology we have today, and in 16 days they got it done? I mean, think about it. It took Noah 75 years to build the ark. It took Solomon 7 years to build God's house. At best, it took Nehemiah them 52 days to rebuild the wall. So I'm sure Hezekiah and the people thought it's going to take a long time to fix what was broke, because you do know it always takes longer to fix something than it does to break it. It takes a second to break your leg, but it takes about 9 months for that leg to get fixed. It takes about 7 months in order to lose 5 pounds, but you can gain 5 pounds in 1 day of overeating. Come on, bump somebody, say, you know you can eat. Come on, come on, you can gain 5 pounds in 1 day. Sometimes me and my wife, we'll take us hours to clean our house, and my crazy 4 kids come home, and what took us hours to clean, they'll mess that thing up in a matter of minutes. Bump somebody and say, he's telling the truth. Why? Because it takes longer to fix something than it does to break something. And the Bible says they thought it was going to take a long time, but because they had the right priority, because they had the right partners, they had the right productivity. And the Bible says in verse 36, 6, that to their surprise, things start happening quickly. Somebody shout quickly. In other words, God accelerated the process. And here it is. It reminds me of this scripture in Amos chapter 9, verse 13. It's in the Message Bible. It says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God decree. Things are getting ready to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Would you bump somebody and say, you can't keep up with this? Everything will happen at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountain and the hills. Would you look at somebody and say, when God gets ready to move, there's nobody that can stop God from moving. Can I preach like I want for 3 minutes? Would you look at your neighbor and say, it's gonna happen fast? And hope well, I speak over your life. I speak it over your life again. That because you didn't put God last, things in your life is about to happen fast. And Pastor Swims, can I encourage you that the Lord told me to tell you that because you didn't quit, things are about to happen quick. Oh, you speak it over somebody's life. Say, neighbor, because you didn't quit, things are about to happen quick. Because when God gets ready to move, it don't take him forever to move. I wonder, do I got any witnesses here that have ever experienced the hand of God? He can move whenever he wants to move. And when God sees the right priorities, when God sees the right partners, and when God sees the right productivity, he'll cause things to start moving fast. I'm out of here now. But the Bible says that when the people saw how fast God moved, that they wasn't cool about it. They wasn't calm about it. Because verse 36 says that Hezekiah and all the people, they start rejoicing because of what the Lord has done. They weren't acting like some of y'all. They weren't sitting down being cool. But they say, we don't mind being disturbed. We don't mind moving over some. Because if God's gonna move fast, then my praise got to move fast. Would you look at somebody, say, if God moves fast, then your praise is got to move fast. And the Bible says that they praised after God did it. Y'all missed it. They praised after God did it. But we can do something better than that. Because we're people of faith. We don't have to wait until we see it. But do I have 20 people in here that believe the word of God? It's about to happen sooner than you think. Well, don't wait until you see it. Don't wait until it's in your hand. But right now, at 11:27 on April 21st, open your mouth, lift your hands, and give God glory. Give God praise. Say, God, I thank you that it's already happening. God, I thank you that the shift is on. Say, God, I thank you that it's happening sooner than I think. Touch 7 people and say, sooner the miracle is coming. Sooner the healing is coming. Sooner the relationship is turning. Sooner.